The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
A few weeks ago, I took a trip to the eastern side of Beijing, to an area called Chaoyang.
This part of the city is full of skate shops, fashion boutiques, and buildings under construction. Of course, there's always construction in Beijing.
I was there to visit the office of Bluid, a hugely popular social network for gay men, and to meet the founder, Geng Lei. In person, he's a bit surprising. He's 41, he's got a close-cropped haircut, wearing a Nike-branded Just Do It t-shirt, and dark navy blue sweatpants. He really does not look like a tech bro or an LGBT icon. If anything, he reminds me a bit of my suburban uncle.
Geng Lei is probably the most famous gay man in China now. But not that long ago, he wasn't openly gay. He was a police officer, married to a woman. So yes, Geng Lei is definitely surprising.
In China, gay rights are non-existent. And under President Xi Jinping, there's been a crackdown on civil society, public expression, and human rights in general.
Even so, Bluid has been able to thrive by tapping the LGBT community as a market. In just a few years, Bluid has attracted 40 million users. That rivals Grindr, one of the earliest gay dating apps. And Bluid is preparing to IPO.
When I sat down with Geng Lei, he told me that the biggest difference between Bluid and other companies is its ideals and beliefs. He wants to showcase a Chinese company diligently serving the LGBT community, showing that they can do things with value and philanthropy.
Geng Lei's latest venture puts this philosophy to the test. It's called Bluid Baby, a service to help gay men who want to have babies by surrogate overseas.
Surrogacy is technically illegal in China, but there's growing demand for it anyway. You can see that in places where it is legal, like California, where more and more straight Chinese couples have gone for surrogacy. Bluid now wants to help its clients do the same thing.
Running almost any business in China requires navigating a lot of uncertainty. For Bluid, the risk is even more acute. If it wants to grow, it's got to push the frontiers of what's possible and acceptable for the LGBT community in China, which still faces a lot of stigma and prejudice. China is a country where there's no gay marriage, and a gay couple can't adopt a child. So Bluid is testing the government's tolerance for something quite new, gay families. I'm Pia Gadkari.
I'm David Ramley.
And I'm Dune Lawrence. You're listening to Decrypted.
For most of his life, Geng Lei was known as Ma Baoli. He was a veteran police officer in Hebei province, which is outside Beijing, and he was married to a woman. But online, he was someone else. He used the alias Geng Lei to live a parallel life as a gay man and an internet entrepreneur. He'd started a website called Danlan, which became an important hub for the LGBT community in China. And he juggled these two careers for more than a decade, rising through the ranks of the police as Ma Baoli, whilst expanding the website as Geng Lei. And then in 2012, his police superiors discovered what he'd been doing.
He talked to me about what a difficult period that was. He said that when local media outed him as the developer of the service, he was forced to choose between shutting it down or leaving the force. He chose the latter, horrifying his parents in a country where stable government jobs are highly prized. Things got even worse when they checked out his business and they realized he was gay. He said the shock made his mother so ill he had to return home and look after her. Of course, this was also the end of his marriage.
Despite all that, Geng Lei doubled down on his online venture and threw himself into launching Bluid, a an app for the Chinese gay community. It was late 2012. Like other dating apps, Blued used geolocation to help men find dates and connect with friends.
Gengle's timing was good. After all, this was the smartphone boom, when mobile use and access to the internet was exploding, and investors were eager to find the next Tencent or Baidu. One of those investors was David Chow at the firm DCM. He'd spotted Blued in 2014. DCM had already backed other Chinese social media companies, and David thought the LGBT community was a huge potential market.
In the United States, about 1 out of 10 people, or 10%, are LGBT members. And of course, in China, that would imply, if it gets to the U.S. levels in the future, that would imply 140 million people. So, you know, the LGBT market in China in the future could be larger than the entire population of Japan.
Nowhere near that many people identify themselves openly as gay in China now. And it's obviously hard to know or measure what percentage of any population is gay or is openly gay or might be gay. But investors like David also see extra potential in gay consumers, in China at least, because they tend to have more spending power than the average, in part because they don't have children. That's the promise of the so-called pink economy.
We expect it to grow into high single digits over the next 5 to 10 years. And hence, you know, you have a large enough community to support an entire economy of its own.
That potential is starting to become a reality, and Blued has played a big role. Its most popular function is video broadcasts, where users live stream to their followers who can send virtual gifts and money. Blued gets a cut of these virtual payments, and it also runs regular ads in the app. With millions of people signing up, the gay community has become more visible in China.
There is a growing movement, and there are more and more spaces where people can be out in China.
That's Darius Longarino, a senior fellow at the Paul Tsai China Center, part of Yale Law School. Darius studies LGBT issues and legal reform in China, and I wanted to talk to him about how Blued fits into the broader context of gay rights.
Even if they're from remote places, places in the countryside, third-tier cities, where, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it'd be really hard to find your community, but through Blued, it's much easier now. So there's a growing connected community that has higher visibility in society, and even advocacy organizations that are starting to advocate for the community and the movement.
As optimistic as that sounds, there are still a lot of risks involved for anyone and any business associated with the LGBT community. Blued is carving out a market that hasn't existed in the past, at least partly because of intense stigma around being gay. In China, there are no explicit legal protections against discrimination based on sexual orientation, and there's also no gay marriage and no civil partnership for same-sex couples. And the government has become less tolerant of demands for civil rights of any kind in recent years.
I don't think, and many advocates in China do not think, the government is targeting LGBT issues per se, but they're wary of any form of organization where people are finding each other and trying to create movements.
Someone who has experienced this personally is Ryan Luo. He lives in Guangzhou in southern China and works for an NGO focused on LGBT health. I met him recently in New York. He described what the atmosphere is like right now.
At the beginning of 2017, the whole, civil society, not only LGBT, but the whole civil society situation got, you know, a whole lot worse in China. So the impact of that is, a lot of events, like openly gathering events, we cannot do. A lot of our events got shut down.
But why? Why would your events get shut down? Because any kind of group event gets shut down?
You know, they just don't want you to kind of get together and, try to come up with something and, to advocate or, do things together, I think. But especially LGBT things right now, I think.
Because Ryan says he still sees room to move things forward. But he and his colleagues have been getting more visits from the police and are more careful now about how they communicate and what they do in public.
Very, very seriously careful. Even, we stopped talking things on WeChat. We all moved to Signal, If only a little bit sensitive, we go to Gmail. Yeah, just this kind of thing. And also, you know, like our events, our poster, we don't put our logo anymore. Because if we put our logo, then, you know, it will get shut down.
It's not always easy to predict where the line is that you shouldn't cross. For example, a dating app for lesbians called Rula got shut down in 2017 over an event in Shanghai. First, you have to know that Shanghai has a weekly wedding market in a park where parents come to mingle and find husbands and wives for their single adult children. Rula helped organize a group of parents whose children are gay. But a few days after they went to the wedding market, the app got shut down. It disappeared from app stores and from social media, although it has since relaunched.
Darius, the Yale researcher, says that initially the government was just as wary of Blood. But Gengla was a former civil servant, and he knows how officialdom works in China. He's been very smart about smoothing the way politically for his business.
Blood had successfully sold itself as like a up-and-coming tech darling to the government, an example of indigenous Chinese innovation. It's an example of success for a Chinese enterprise.
Blood isn't exceptional in this respect. All large companies in China need to stay on the government's good side, so it's normal for companies to foster relationships with officials.
But Blood has been especially assiduous at courting the government, in part by stepping lightly and avoiding public scrums. For example, in 2016, the government issued rules that banned depictions of so-called abnormal sexual behavior on Chinese television, which included homosexuality. The next year, a government-affiliated group issued similar rules for online content. Some major platforms reacted by banning gay-themed content altogether, causing uproar in the LGBT community. Instead of commenting publicly, Gengla got in touch privately with one of the officials responsible. That official said he'd just taken old rules for TV and applied them online. Gengla framed it as a business issue. He suggested that next time, there should be more opportunity for public input. In January of this year, the same group issued another list of banned subjects, this time for short video platforms. The list includes foot fetishes and criticism of the Chinese Communist Party, but it doesn't include explicit mention of homosexuality. Gengla thanked the official privately and counts it as a win for dialogue over confrontation.
Gengla said that he really believes dialogue can solve problems and that the government is supportive of his company because it knows Blood is doing things well. He said that even though there are some officials who aren't very tolerant of the gay community, overall, he said the government is well-intentioned.
That right there is a good example of Gengla's business savvy. Blood's market may depend on pushing social boundaries, but Gengla's focus is definitely on business, not on advocacy and not on challenging the government. In fact, Blood has become an essential partner for the government in its public health outreach, particularly for HIV and AIDS programs.
And this strategy has worked, at least for now. Blood has been growing rapidly since 2012, and today it's got 40 million total users. About 60% of those are in China, and the rest are outside China, mainly in countries where there's a big Chinese-speaking population. The Blood investor, David Chow, says the company is planning to diversify into new services that cater to LGBT consumers, and Blood Baby is the first. The idea came from Gengla's own life because about 4 years ago, he started looking seriously at becoming a father.
He says he always liked kids and thought they were cute. But then he hit 35 and he started to envy other people when he saw them with their children. He wanted one of his own. There was a lot to figure out, like where it's even legal to have a child by surrogate. He also thought about what life might be like for his child, the child of a gay man in China.
He said he thought about how the child might feel a lot of pressure, or experience prejudice, or feel insecure or unsafe. He said the child might feel that other people have mothers, but that he didn't. In fact, he told me a story about how, not long ago, while they were all at home together, his son called out for a mother that he just didn't know.
Eventually, Gengla decided to go to California for surrogacy. He was hoping for twins, but only one baby came to term.
Gengla spent a month in L.A., 2 weeks before the birth and two afterwards. He said the feeling of fatherhood never really hit him until he held his son in his arms. It was then on that he really felt the rising combination of love and responsibility.
Gunglo's son now lives outside the city with his grandparents and his other dad, Gunglo's boyfriend, mostly because the air quality and the environment is better there. Gunglo FaceTimes with his son and, of course, gets lots of photos and updates about what he's doing. Like lots of parents, he thinks his son is extremely smart and says maybe he'll go to school in the U.S. one day.
Gunglo says surrogacy is something really positive that's transformed his life and lightened some of the pressures of being gay in China.
It's also part of the reason he decided to start Blued Baby.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
In December, I went to LA to visit HRC Fertility. It's one of the clinics that Blued partners with in California. It has a refined beige reception area, and they get a lot of Chinese clients, which you can tell because there's so much Chinese being spoken. Maybe more Chinese than English. I was there to meet a man named Russell, who'd flown in from China to deposit semen, which is the first step in having a baby by surrogate.
I come from Shanghai. I have a partner. I'm out to everyone except my parents.
Russell isn't one of Blued Baby's clients, but he's just the sort of person Gunglo is hoping to serve. He's 37 and works in marketing for an international company. He also has his own marketing business on the side. Russell's parents still live in the small rural town where he grew up. And he says it's becoming an issue that they don't know he's gay. They don't understand why he's not settling down and starting a family. Remember the marriage market in Shanghai we talked about?
Because I'm getting older and older, then the pressure is stronger and stronger from the family. Then just since recently, I think maybe it's a good idea to have a baby. And also, I personally, I like babies too. So why not? So also the reason I wanted to have a baby is for them, because they give me a lot of pressure. They want me to get married. So I'm thinking maybe I can just skip the step, like skip marriage, just to babies. That's much easier for me.
The path to becoming a gay parent is full of hurdles. For starters, it's incredibly expensive. Russell is budgeting $200,000 for the process, and that's about how much Gunglo spent as well. Russell first looked into adoption, but found it would be impossible for him as a single gay man in China. He has friends who've had babies by surrogate in Thailand, which would be cheaper, but it's illegal there. So after doing some research, Russell found an agency called Los Angeles Surrogacy.
For Russell, the next steps are to find an egg donor and a surrogate, but it will probably take another year before he becomes a father.
You know, in terms of an egg donor and in terms of a surrogate, do you know what you're looking for? Do you know what you want?
I'm paying more attention to the egg donor at the moment. I haven't thought about the next step. So I want to have a mixed baby, since it's already a surrogate baby. So I want to have a mixed. And I would go for dark hair, because if the egg donor is a blonde girl, I'm sure that it's very likely that my baby is going to be like blonde. Then, you know, in the future, I have this blonde kid on the street. They will say, where's your mother? And it's so obvious that he's not my baby.
Blued Baby wants to make surrogacy easier and safer for the LGBT community, steering clients to places where surrogacy is legal and long established, like California. Employees connect clients with trusted providers and shepherd them through each step, choosing an egg donor, choosing a surrogate, drawing up legal contracts. There are three employees in Los Angeles who pick up clients at the airport, book hotels, and help get them around the city.
Blood Baby was launched less than 2 years ago, so it can't count any actual births yet, although some of its clients are pregnant, or rather, the surrogates are pregnant. Blood Baby is also a test of how Blood can diversify its business into products and services that aren't necessarily online. For a mobile app and an online company, surrogacy is a very high-touch business.
Gengle said that in comparison to the internet side of his company, surrogacy is actually a slow business. It's a service industry. But he wanted to do it anyway because he thinks it can help people and because it's a happy thing. Even in saying that, though, it will turn a profit eventually.
When David sat down with Gengle, it was around the Chinese New Year, and he talked a lot about what's spurring gay men from China to turn to surrogacy.
The Chinese New Year means heading home to visit family, and Gengle says it brings out all the pressures of being gay, pressures that parents and relatives feel as well. When an adult child comes home, unmarried with no kids, it's hard for parents to face their friends too, he says. Bringing home his son, the next generation of the family, has repaired the heartache and the difficulties that his being gay and coming out has meant for them.
A lot of people I spoke to, including academics and doctors, as well as intended parents themselves, said the same thing. Having a child makes it easier for these men to come out to their families. I asked Russell whether this was part of his plan, too.
Do you think once you have a baby, you'll tell your parents, you'll come out to your parents?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm not going to tell them. Maybe my kid will tell them when he or she grow up.
Russell is hoping for a girl after this long process, and he anticipates lots of challenges to raising his child. He thinks he might have to send her to an expensive international school because she'll be a U.S. citizen and technically a foreigner in China. Russell isn't sure if he'll be able to get her the documents and permits needed to attend a regular Chinese school. He wonders how future classmates may react to her and if she'll resent him for not being a normal dad in a traditional family.
How could your child be upset? They won't really... They'll just... know what your family is like, and that's their family. They'll just accept it.
Because the kid is going to face a lot of difficulties in school, and because it's not a normal family, he's not going to be treated equally as other kids. I know it's not going to be easy because our society is not ready for this kind of babies, especially if we are gay couples.
The plan eventually is for Blood to address this kind of worry with things like social kids groups on the app, where children of LGBT parents can bond, free from the stigma they might face for having a non-traditional family.
Russell is also concerned that at any moment the Chinese government could decide it's not going to look the other way anymore.
And you know our government is very communist. You don't know what they're going to do in the future. Maybe one day they will just say, okay, we have to stop this. You cannot do surrogate babies in China. You cannot promote it.
When we asked Gengle and David Chow about that kind of risk, whether it's a crackdown on surrogacy or the gay community more broadly, they both said they aren't worried. And Blood certainly seems to be thriving. Its domestic business has turned a profit for the last 2 years, and Gengle is now planning an IPO.
So, June, on the point about Blood's plans to go public, did you get the sense that any part of those plans was related to putting the company on a surer footing and insulate it from risk coming from the government?
Not necessarily. I mean, if the government wants to crack down in China, they will. But one reason they may not is demographics. China's population is aging really rapidly. And having spent a long time trying to limit the population, I think the government is now interested in boosting the birth rate. And even if these babies are born by surrogate, they're still babies. They're still boosting the birth rate.
Given how expensive this procedure is, I wonder how many babies this avenue would actually yield.
That's true. I mean, it does seem incredibly expensive and complicated, you know, with the currency controls in China and stuff like that. But some of the fertility experts that I talked to who have been to China on these kind of
educational tours that Blood has put on to talk to gay men who are considering surrogacy, said that often their parents are with them. And this is such a strong, it's such a strong imperative to have children in China that these parents are just totally committed. They're going to chip in and help make it happen for their sons.
Well, that was one of the big revelations for me working with you on this story. I had no idea that it would help parents deal with their children's sexuality if they had a grandchild in the picture.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sort of just allows them to ignore it. I mean, who cares about their children's sexuality when they have a grandchild?
Focus on the grandchild.
Baby. Yeah.
So did you meet any of Blood Baby's clients?
They wouldn't make any of their clients available. I mean, they said basically they were all really worried about privacy. And I mean, it's still not something that's really accepted in China. It's not seen as normal, right? Even just surrogacy by straight people, right? So I think there's a lot of concerns around that. I was able to talk to a surrogate who's working with a Blood Baby client, and she's about to give birth any day now. And that was cool. I mean, it was kind of, so we're going to have a Blood Baby, the first Blood Baby, any day now.
And that's it for this week's episode of Decrypted. Thanks for listening.
We want to hear from you, so you can find me on Twitter at Dune Lawrence.
And I'm at Pia Gadkari. And please help us spread the word about our new season. You can leave us a rating and a review wherever you like to listen.
This episode was produced by Pia Gadkari and Lindsay Cradwell. Our story editor was Emily Busso. Thanks also to Anne Vandermeer, Aki Ito, and Brad Stone. Francesca Levy is head of Bloomberg Podcasts. We'll see you next week.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.